Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Tes B'Sivan Tavshin Ayin Hei, Parshas Naso. The evening of the third day, Tuesday, 26 May 2015, webcast from the hills of Judea. Well, it appears that last week's meeting between Prime Minister Netanyahu and Europe's Tsarina of the foreign policy went well from Israel's point of view, and one should not be surprised. I have no inside information, but judging by the photo op after their meeting, the anti-Jewess Mogherini was smiling much more than during their first meeting. Namely, she liked what the Prime Minister had to say, which, as we learned today, may have been pure glatt kosher, taurine excreta. Today, Minister of Agriculture and longtime settlement leader Uri Ariel of the Habayit Hayudi, the Jewish Home Party, said that if there's truth to the reports of Netanyahu's desire to renew negotiations with the Palestinian Authority and to discuss the boundaries of the settlement blocks, this is dangerous and contradicts the first article of the government guidelines, the people's right to the land of Israel, its historic national homeland, close quote. Sounds good to me, though, Ariel sends the message that Mogherini wants to hear. Bibi is retreating. But I say, fiddlesticks. It's no accident that today the NMEPA rejected the idea of discussing the boundaries, the limits to the geography of the settlement blocks, because, as Bibi well knows, that means accepting the existence of the settlement blocks when he knows, since day one of the Oslo abomination, the Arabs have said they will never accept them. Literally from day one, 13 September 1993, the enemy has said there will be no peace so long as there are any settlements remaining. Yeah, the Arabs do not bargain, they do not negotiate. They demand the maximum and never budge. Because in truth, in psychological truth, the stated material goal is immaterial to them. Never in the history of the human race do the Arabs ever see the outlines of a Palestinian country, let alone a Palestinian state. They never used the name. They never wanted, let alone created, a Palestinian state, and they still don't want one. Their goal is not material, but the psychological, spiritual. The purpose is to defeat and humiliate the Jews. For them, life is an eternal arm wrestling match. There's no concrete gain, only the pleasure of victory. I think it was the great chess genius and certified lunatic Bobby Fischer who said, quote, "The best part of the game is watching the face of your opponent. As he sees he is trapped, there is no way out, and you can see his ego crumble before your very eyes." For those who don't know, chess is a game which from the outside looks incredibly static. It's really quite violent. Well, it's a clashing of forces in the brain. So Bibi agreed to return to discussing the dimensions of the settlements when Abbas can never negotiate their existence, let alone their outlines. And I doubt Signorina Mogherini understands this. Playing political chess, Bibi appears to have made a concession. Ariel is worried. Only I think Bibi made no concession. I think he sees himself improvising and treading water, just staying afloat in stormy waters. And his goal is just to keep his head above water and survive the evil one in the Oval Office, whose current love bombing of Israel is truly a cause for concern. The recent offer by him of the bunker busters and the additional F-35s, and now, last Friday night, serenading the conservative synagogue in Washington, Adas Yisrael, of those IBJs, those Inside the Beltway Jews, those fools last Friday who sat and listened to him. He told them how much he loves Israel, and that's just an attempt, I think, to keep American Jews like them quiet as he proceeds with arming Iran with an atomic bomb and allowing the conquest in Syria and Iraq by the most extreme ISIS head choppers. Maybe you've seen the otherwise estimable John Bolton on Fox News berating the president for being in denial about the situation. I say it's a fair bet that Bolton knows he is not in denial. He knows exactly what's going on, what he's doing, because Obama is a traitor, an enemy agent, But, of course, if Bolton were to say that on Fox News, I think he'd be out of a job. I think people have been running scared of this man, Obama, from day one because their subverbal sensors, their gut feelings tell them he's dangerous. His IRS has been known to be viciously partisan in its harassment of right-wing groups. I think they even went after a commentary magazine, and evidently the expense of that audit grievously wounded their budget. It is a borderline IBJ publication in any case. I find it simply shocking that in a country of over 300 million people, allegedly free citizens, not one has stood up and called for Obama's impeachment. He should have been removed from office after only 11 months. That's when Fort Hood happened. And his response of denial was mind-boggling. Fear as well stirs such as these IBJs in that Washington synagogue. Fear and or an astonishing naivete about this man. They applauded him during his speech, cheered, not all, but most, many, evidently, and they did so as he professed his respect and admiration for Israel. Every sober American these days knows this man is a chronic liar. What does it matter what he says? And what's scary in his recent love bombing is that it is likely camouflage for his sinister designs. He will do nothing to stop ISIS. He only is engaging in small stuff with them of no consequence because the very idea of attacking fellow believers bothers him. He is such a BS artist. I don't know how these IBJs stand sitting and listening to him. He says he feels compelled to look out for the rights of the Jewish people, and the rights of the Jewish people lead him to think about that child in Ramallah who feels trapped. That's what Jewish values teach me, he said. Ah, yes, Jewish values. Take it from me. When you hear someone talk about Jewish values, what they're talking about are not Jewish values. They're universal values. I think he got lots of warm applause, too, for that particular Tory excreto about that child in Ramallah who feels trapped, he said. Didn't say by whom. Certainly not Israel. Anytime that child and parents want to leave Ramallah and emigrate and go back to their ancient homeland, the Arabian Peninsula, home of their two holy cities, Mecca and Medina, Israel wouldn't stop them. Israel's not trapping them. Obama can't sleep at night thinking of that child trapped in Ramallah, but evidently not about the children in Sderot. 75% of them, they say, are suffering PTSD, some of them regressing to peeing in their beds at night out of terror from those rockets. A terror that child in Ramallah has never known. He told these shallow Jews that his deal with Iran will block every path of having a nuclear weapon. And he might have added, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. It seems, though, that these sheep have yet to learn that this man is a chronic compulsive liar. It sounds as if last Friday in that synagogue, the air was rich with toxic nonsense. Obama was introduced by the rabbi, who was in the news recently, you may recall, for announcing he was going to live in Sodom, that he's always wanted to live in Sodom. And, of course, everyone in that enlightened community smiled on his what they call coming out, if not his wife, who seems to have filed for divorce immediately. So this so-called rabbi, Gil Steinlauf, introduced Obama as, quote, champion of freedom and justice and a great friend of the Jewish people. Close quote, which is why, I guess, Obama slapped the Jews in the face during his first inaugural address and insulted and humiliated and sandbagged Israel's prime minister more than once. Also not a surprise was the information that this very congregation is attended by Obama's favorite and faithful Jew boy, Jeffrey Goldberg, who passed on some of his verbal droppings last week in his Atlantic Monthly column. Particularly nauseating by Goldberg was the voice of Obama citing, quote, the very language of the Israeli Declaration of Independence, which explicitly states that all people, regardless of race or religion, are full participants in democracy. This was a reference to Obama's displeasure with Bibi on election eve, telling the people in Israel, the Jewish people of the fifth column, Arabs with citizenship who were voting as never before. At that time, Obama said his remarks were, Bibi's remarks were, quote, contrary to what is the best of Israel's traditions. That's like Jewish value is so vague. The nerve of this Muslim preacher preaching to the Prime Minister of Israel what Israel's best traditions are or are not. The arrogance, again, of this race hustler, this community organizer, thinking he knows better than the Israeli electorate what is good for them. And in his mind, it's not BBE. Excuse me, but I'm ready to blow lunch.
אני קיים, נותן חיוך אל העולם. אני שמח שאני חי, אני מאושר שאני קיים. אני פורס ידיי אל על לאבא שיושב מעל. אני שמח שאני חי, אני מאושר שאני קיים. חוזר בתשובה, חוזר לכאן, כי מכאן כבר אין לי לאן. חוזר לאבא שמבקש, חזור בני ואל תתבייש. חוזר בתשובה, חוזר לכאן, כי מכאן כבר אין לי לאן. חוזר שמבקש, חזור בני ואל תתבייש. אין ייאוש בעולם כלל, כך אמר רבי נחמן. תפוס מזוודה, סע לאומן, ראש השנה אצל רבי נחמן.
Yeah, the very implication made by Obama that Bibi was a racist for his clarion call to Jewish voters in March on Election Day deserves a punch in the mouth. Race has absolutely nothing to do with the violence and strife here that never ends. We are Jews, and our immediate enemies are Arabs, and nobody's physical appearance has anything to do with anything. The Arab League of States has 21 members, 19 of whom remain formally committed to destroying our country, killing perhaps millions, God forbid, abusing and humiliating the survivors, and stealing all the wealth we Jewish people have created here over the last century and a half. And again, race has nothing to do with that. In 1990, Saddam Hussein needed money, big time. So he invaded Kuwait to loot it and possess its oil wells. He had nothing in mind but armed robbery, and race or even religion had nothing to do with it. And it is that basic primeval urge to larceny which plays a major role in the Arabs' desire to destroy Israel, God forbid. As Arabs in their culture, they're also humiliated by the loss to Al-Yahud, over whom they had tyrannized for centuries. The psychological shame is also a major factor. And then there is the religious dimension, which instead of elevating these people, only reinforces them in their worst features. Islam validates their appetite for stealing the wealth of others. They claim that Islam is the one true faith. That commands them to impose it over the whole planet and create a one-world government ruled by a Muslim priest, which process, of course, will end with the confiscation of all the world's wealth. The Torah commands the Jews to dispossess the barbaric Canaanites and related peoples from this tiny land of Canaan and create a model community for mankind. By contrast, Islam commands believers to dispossess all the peoples of all their lands. I find it simply breathtaking that Obama was invited at all to Jeffrey Goldberg's congregation of IBJs, who seemed to be, or at least many of them, a congregation of bootlicks like himself. Obama evidently received more than one round of applause and cheers, as he claimed that no president has done more to ensure that Israel can protect itself than this one, by, for example, presumably refusing to resupply Hellfire missiles last summer when Israel most needed them, like shutting down Ben-Gurion Airport in the middle of that missile barrage. These people who applauded and cheered Obama are simply pathetic. One outstanding example of such types was in the Jerusalem Post today. Famed attorney Alan Dershowitz, who, commenting on Obama's speech last Friday evening at that synagogue, said it reminded him of why he voted for Obama twice. Quote, "Barack Obama is a good and decent person who admires the Jewish people and supports Israel's right to exist as the nation-state of the Jewish people. I tend to agree with Obama on settlement building, but it was an excellent speech as he talked about shared values between U.S. and Israel, between him and the Jewish community." Time to blow lunch again, I think. Alan Dershowitz is the quintessential IBJ. On the one hand, he waves the flag of Israel's right to exist, and another wants to drive hundreds of thousands of Jews from their homes that they have a right to live in, me being one of them. He is one Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde because he tries to serve two masters. Dershowitz was born an Orthodox Jew who in his teens stopped being one. He chose to strive instead for acceptance in the non-Jewish world, which in Washington means going to the baptismal font of enlightened opinion when it comes to Israel and the territories, to accept the views of the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants who have always dominated the State Department, men like James Addison Baker III. In the matter of Jews living in Judea and Samaria, Alan Dershowitz is a Jim Baker clone, as is Jeffrey Goldberg and Thomas Friedman, Martin Indyk, Danny Kurtzer, and the conservative current ambassador Daniel Shapiro. On the one hand, the news is heartwarming that their conservative movement is shutting down dormitories at JTS, the Jewish Theological Seminary in Manhattan. Notice the adoption of Christian terminology. Jews have no theology. God is ineffable. And the highest institution of learning is called a yeshiva, not a seminary. It's good to hear that they're sinking fast in terms of money. They're selling air rights, evidently. They have reduced their office space in Manhattan. Over the last three decades, a third of their congregations have closed their doors. On the other hand, one is confident that when the conservative reform movements are no more, their destiny is that of the Essenes and the Sadducees and other offshoots. There will be another way of rebelling against Orthodox Jewishness, which word Orthodox means correct opinion. And in 1990, it was proved to be the correct form of Jewishness. The National Jewish Population Survey was paid for by the Reform and the Conservatives, and it was already clear by the results that they were dying, and therefore their forms of Judaism are incorrect. One is sure that there will be other ways, though, to rebel against Jewishness and try to make it more like the surrounding religious environment, as happens in every generation. For that is what the Reform and the Conservative Jews have done over the past two centuries. All their so-called improvements and modernizations have been nothing but assimilating behaviors and values from the Gentiles. That is all they have done. And not surprisingly, they're both in demographic chapter 11.
לבנים בת ויצורכם כמו בבת נעים שמכם ולא יושבת שבונחו ביום שבת דרור יקרא לבנים בת ויצורכם כמו בבת נעים שמכם ולא יושבת שבונחו ביום שבת דרוש נביא ואולמים ואות ישר עשה אימים נטה סורק בתוך קרמים ששבת בני ימים, ששבת בני ימים. דרור יקרא לבנים בת, ויצורכם כמו בבת, נעים שמכם ולא יושבת, שבונחו ביום שבת. דרור יקרא לבנים בת, ויצורכם כמו בבת, נעים שמכם ולא יושבת, שבונחו ביום שבת. דרור פורה בתוך בצרה וגם בבר אשר גברה נטוץ עליי באף עברה שמקור לי ביום אקרא שמקור לי ביום אקרא דרור יקרא לבנים בת ויצורכם כמו בבת נעים שמכם ולא יושבת שבונחו ביום שבת דרור יקרא לבנים בת ויצורכם כמו בבת נעים שמכם ולא יושבת שבונחו ביום שבת אלוקים תן במדבר הדס שיטה בראש נדהר ולמה סיר ולמה נזר שלא ניתן כמי נהר שלא ניתן כמי נהר דרור יקרא לבנים בת ויצורכם כמו בבת נעים שמכם ולא יושבת שבונחו ביום שבת דרור יקרא לבנים בת ויצורכם כמו בבת נעים שמכם ולא יושבת שבונחו ביום שבת הדוח קמי אל קנה במות לבב ובגינה ונחי ואומה לנה ושוננו ויצורכם כמו בבת נעים שמכם ולא יושבת שבונחו ביום שבת דרך חוכמה לנפשך ויחתר לראשך נצור מצוות קדושך שמור שבת קודשך שמור שבת קודשך לבנים בת ויצורכם כמו בבת נעים שמכם ולא יושבת שבונחו ביום שבת
You're listening to www.deprogramprogram.com broadcasting from the hills of Judea. I'm Shai Ben Tekoa. And that was Dror Yikra that we sing on Shabbat, the words from the 10th century written by Dunash Ibn Labrat, the famous grammarian often cited by Rashi. So, as I said before, our highly intelligent Prime Minister seems to have had his way, in the best sense, with the Signorina Mogherini, who is young enough to be his daughter. And I suppose it is a good thing He is the prime minister, and not an extremist like yours truly, who foolishly might, in a similar situation, try to persuade her of the rightness of our cause. Bibi likely pegs her for the European intellectual anti-Jew that she is, that is so characteristic of her generation and level of education that he doesn't even try. You know, she's a doctor of political science, like Dr. Joseph Bethen, Ph.D., and political scientist Denny Kurtzer, Ph.D. One can only wonder if, during their meeting, the Prime Minister was apprised of a vote taken at the World Health Organization last week, I'm not sure which day, the WHO, which is a UN agency and, in truth, one of the few that does good in this life, if connected to that organization, if not last week's vote. The great Sarah Honig on her website reported yesterday on what the MSM here seems to have overlooked. The WHO had its annual assembly in Geneva and voted 104 states for, 4 states against, with 6 abstentions and 65 no-shows, on a resolution which included a Syrian document demanding that WHO, quote, intervene immediately and take effective measures to end inhuman Israeli practices that target the health of Syrians. The occupation authorities continue to experiment on Syrian and Arab prisoners with medicines and drugs to inject them with pathogenic viruses. Close quote. This is the Syria that butchers its own people. And as Honig pointed out, not one European country present walked out of that meeting at that point. There were also European states, evidently, who voted with the 104 for this language worthy of the Nazis at Auschwitz, where Dr. Mengele performed experiments on alive Jews. This is also the Syria where, for decades, a major Nazi criminal, Alois Brunner, was given asylum after the war and worked on new fiendish ways to torture people. One can only wonder if Bibi apprised Federica of the goings-on in Geneva, and the reality that our enemies today are as bonkers about Jews as the Nazis. And that, of course, includes the ancient Palestinians. Here was the UN World Health Organization accusing Israel of Nazi-like satanic torture and cruelty, when in fact Israel has been caring for hundreds of Syrians wounded in the fighting who come across the frontier in search of medical help. In other words, did Bibi try to open her eyes to the reality that the so-called Israeli-Palestinian conflict is a smokescreen for the age-old delirious hatred of Jews with no basis in reality, which no amount of bargaining over territory will change? We are in Judea and Samaria because before 1967, the murderous hatred of Arabs was a fact of life. The presence of Jews in Judea and Samaria had absolutely nothing to do with that hatred, because there were none. And so bargaining over Judea and Samaria is a red herring. Today's war against Israel in the name of the phantom Palestinians is nothing but a ruse. And I wait for the day official Israel tells the world that. Speaking before of Syria, the ISIS barbarians in that country are now reported to be smashing the ancient relics at Tadmor, ancient Palmyra, which some archaeologists claim was founded by none other than King Solomon. They have been reported to have massacred hundreds of Syrians in that town. And here last week was the European Union expressing its wish that Israel retreat from the high ground and turn it over to the spiritual soulmates of ISIS and Hamas. For that is who keeps winning elections and public opinion polls among the Arabs in Judea and Samaria. Were Israel to withdraw, as the enlightened demand, that is who would take over. Ahmed Shekra, World of Lies. Obama insists the U.S. is winning, and the U.N. accuses Israel of conducting satanic medical experiments, and the EU waves the flag of the phantom Palestinians. The post-World War II state of Iraq is functionally no more, post-World War I, rather. Agence France-Presse last week was also reporting that Assad Jr. is functionally reconciling himself to the loss of half of Syria, and that's the situation right now. And Haaretz reported last Friday that Jordan is teetering on a virtual collapse due to the tidal wave of refugees from Syria and Iraq. Over 680,000 Syrians have fled into Jordan, over 30,000 Iraqis. Maybe 15% of this mass are living in tent cities, refugee camps. The remainder have found shelter or scattered around the country and are wrecking employment for Jordanians by working for even less than they do off the books. More than 30% of Jordanians who had been working in agriculture and construction have lost their jobs to the refugees, the report said. The Middle East is coming apart in blood and suffering, and the EU wants to see Israel retreat from the high ground in favor of the victims of Israel's Zionism. What a world. Okay, I'll be back, God willing, on Thursday. Until then, Laila Tov, Me'eretz Yisrael.